Hello and welcome to The WISP Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign where we explore the issues that matter for kids and families in Colorado. I'm Jackie Zubricki. Did you know the first year of life is the time when you are most likely to be evicted from your home? Being evicted is extremely disruptive, to say the least. It's costly for the people being evicted, for landlords, and for court systems, and research shows it has long-term consequences for kids' health, education, and well-being. And a lot of times, people are evicted because they are just a few hundred dollars short of being able to pay their rent. In 2020, at the height of the pandemic, we hit pause on evictions for people who couldn't pay rent. That pause is now very much in the past. According to a recent article by the Colorado Sun, more Coloradans were evicted from their homes in 2023 than ever before. There were something like 53,000 evictions last year. But we know surprisingly little about evictions in our state, things like which zip codes are most affected. And the data we do have is hard to access, even for skilled researchers. A new bill, SB 24064, for those of you taking notes, would help improve our state's data collection and reporting around evictions, helping create a better system for everyone involved. You'll notice a little trouble with the audio on our recording today. One thing that hasn't changed since the pandemic is the fact that video recording software will always trip up in some way. But you'll still be able to learn about why Colorado needs a better eviction data system and how that data could help make a difference for kids and families. Let's get started. Thank you so much for being with us today. Kinsey, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your role?
Yes, good morning, Jackie. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Kinsey Hasted, and I am the State and Local Policy Director for Enterprise Community Partners here in Colorado. And for those who don't know us, Enterprise is a nationwide organization. We work across the country and here in Colorado to increase the supply of homes that are affordable to folks living on low and fixed incomes and to advance housing stability.
Great. And Sarah, can you introduce yourself as well?
Yeah, good morning, Jackie. I'm Sarah Barnes, and I am the Senior Policy Director and Director of Family Economic Prosperity Initiatives at the Colorado Children's Campaign.
Great. Well, we're here today to talk about a bill you're working on that would improve data we're collecting about evictions in Colorado. Can you tell us a little bit about the bill?
Yes. So we're really excited to be working this session on Senate Bill 64, which would improve the way that Colorado collects and publishes data about evictions in our state. This is important because we don't currently have a clear picture of what is happening with evictions in our state in a comprehensive way. And this would allow us to understand more about what's happening when it comes to evictions and housing stability in Colorado, even though it's not a perfect picture of that. And it'll also help us understand more about how we're spending resources as a state to prevent evictions and what we might be able to do in terms of preventing evictions in the future. So the bill would do a few things. It would require certain data points to be collected from residential eviction filings in Colorado. And then it would require those data points to be made publicly accessible in an aggregated way, so not with confidential information about the parties, for the public to be able to access and see trends happening in evictions across our state.
And I'll just build on what Sarah offered there. You know, as she mentioned, even though we know that the evictions that actually make it to court underrepresent the full scope of displacement that happens among renters who might fall behind on rent and receive a notice. Even though we know that the evictions filed in court underestimate the full scope and impact of displacement among renters who might fall behind on rent or receive a demand from their landlord, they are the best source of data that we have to really more fully understand and quantify kind of who is being most impacted by evictions statewide and how those eviction filings and their outcomes are impacting renters, landlords, and our communities as a whole. And there's a lot of information that gets collected when an eviction is filed in court. And so we're really trying to make the most of information that's already being input into systems and really use it as a way to kind of identify trends and track how things are going over time. So some of the specific pieces of information that this bill looks to kind of elevate and illuminate include whether tenants and landlords had legal counsel representing them through the court process, whether a tenant was able to file an answer to the landlord's initial complaint or initial eviction filing, kind of a very high level look at differences in case outcomes. You know, are cases being, when are cases being decided in favor of a landlord or the owner, and when are cases being decided in favor of a tenant? Whether cases are being filed over non-payment of rent and other fees, or are they being filed for infractions of a lease agreement? And then one of the most interesting things that we really want to keep looking at as well is some more geographic detail on where eviction filings are occurring. The most detail that we are able to get right now is at the county level, and even that is extremely difficult and requires lengthy and sometimes complicated requests for data from the state judicial department. And another reason that we find this bill would be useful for a statewide picture is that all of the courts under state judicial operate separately from Denver County Court. And in order to get a truly statewide picture of trends that are happening in eviction filings and who this is happening to, we need to be able to take and consider data on the whole from Denver and all of the other counties across the state. So it would become a full geographic picture. And we're also looking very specifically for the zip codes of where an eviction was filed as part of the data collection and reporting.
Why would it be helpful to understand the zip codes where evictions are happening instead of just county level data?
Yeah, you know, I think being able to have zip codes is going to enable researchers and policymakers to have a clear understanding of where evictions are being filed most often, if it's happening in certain types of areas or communities. And it's a step forward toward being able to understand more demographic information on renters who are seeing evictions filed against them most often. You know, Sarah can illuminate on this a little bit more, but we're not going to be able to immediately get to demographic information on renters with this bill, but having a little bit more geographic specificity, like a zip code where an eviction was filed, would enable researchers, for instance, to look at those trends and overlay with other data sets to get at a little bit more information on who we're seeing impacted by evictions.
Great. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just so I'm clear, you're collecting, is this all information that's being collected and you're making sure that we just are able to access it at the state level, or is some of this new information that's going to need to be collected at the local level?
I think it's a combination of the two. So I think in many ways, some of the indicators that we're hoping to be able to shed a light on are being collected, but may not currently be being input into the systems where they would be shared about evictions in a way that is currently accessible. So it may be that that information is being collected and just isn't being placed into the systems where it would become available. And then in a few cases, it may be that the way information is being collected would need to change a little bit on the form. But I think those situations are less frequent.
So hopefully as a result of this bill, we'll have a statewide picture of what's going on in terms of evictions. Can you tell us a little bit about the why here? Like, what might we be able to actually do if we have this information about evictions?
Yeah, that's what we're all about here, right? Creating actionable data and evidence, not just data for data's sake. So Enterprise was really pleased to be able to work with research partners at the Colorado Future Center and to look at and examine data from evictions that were filed in county courts across the state from 2017 through 2021. And this was really following on a request for information that was sent from the state's Joint Budget Committee, comprising legislators, to state judicial, which is really what enabled you know, this information to even be collected at all, because legislators were requesting the information. We were really lucky to be able to work with them and look through that data and look at the trends that we saw. Of course, 2017 to 2021 were really important years in everybody's lives. That was kind of through the thick of the COVID-19 pandemic, when we saw housing instability become illuminated for just about everybody, even if you hadn't had to deal with it personally before. And for many people, that housing instability and uncertainty became greatly exacerbated by the economic impacts of the pandemic. And of course, during pandemic times, we saw lots of federal and state and some local policy interventions seeking to stabilize renters and landlords alike, from eviction moratoriums to huge amounts of money that were poured into stabilizing renters and keeping them in their homes, as well as stabilizing folks who were providing that housing and were able to collect rent and were facing shortfalls in their ability to continue to maintain healthy and stable living environments. So we really wanted to see kind of a better understand the impacts of those interventions through the pandemic and kind of be aware of and start tracking what was going to happen to folks after all of those protections went away. So we released a report in October of 2022 with the Future Center, looking at all of those analyses and making some observations. You know, I think it was startling to see just how quickly, it's been startling to see how quickly the rate of eviction filings across Colorado has gone up since all of these pandemic-related interventions have expired or funds have run out. But it was also really notable to see the impact that those kind of really deliberate policy interventions and appropriately scaled funds had on stabilizing renters and landlords and really the housing ecosystem as a whole. And so we really are looking for this bill and this consistent and accurate collection of data, and not just on eviction filing numbers, but on some more of the really helpful and illustrative information in those filings to get a better sense of what's going on now for folks, look back as much as we can, but also look forward. And so we feel like once we have this information and it can be digested and broken down into we can identify different trends in, for instance, case outcomes for landlords and renters when there is legal counsel present. We can better understand, you know, the amount of money that we are often talking about when a renter falls behind and a landlord files an eviction. Perhaps we're talking about amounts of money that we could see long-term scalable rental assistance to stabilize everybody and kind of prevent those really significant additional costs of going to court, not to mention the long-term impacts of eviction on individuals and particularly families with children. We really think that this data will enable policymakers and program implementers to really create the most effective and most targeted interventions that are going to stabilize folks at greatest risk of housing instability and create stronger communities.
Yeah, so we're recording this in early 2024, but what you saw in this report was that those interventions during the pandemic where people couldn't be evicted from their homes made a difference at that time. And now we're seeing a lot more people being evicted, not able to stay in their homes without those interventions.
That's right. I mean, in Denver, I think it was headline news that Denver saw the highest number of eviction filings ever last year. And we were back up into the many tens of thousands statewide. And so this, I think, is a preventable problem in a lot of ways. And if we better understand the problem and not just the numbers and the number of times this happens, but can really get under the surface a little bit more to understand the dynamics of what is going on from a readily available data source, I think we can do a lot more.
So it might feel intuitive, but I know that evictions obviously have a big impact on people's lives. We're talking about a data point, but we're talking about, really about families or people who are experiencing a huge change in where they're living or other parts of their lives. And we need better data on what's happening in Colorado, but nationally we know some things about who is most affected by evictions. Sarah, can you talk a little bit about who's most affected by evictions and then talking a little bit about kids and families and the impact that this can have on their lives?
Of course. And as Kinsey mentioned, we're hopeful that Senate Bill 64 will help us move toward being in a place where we're able to more easily identify the disparities in who is most impacted in Colorado by eviction and why. But we have seen national data over the years that indicates that certain communities and families are more impacted by evictions than others. And a national study that most recently came out from the Eviction Lab confirmed this and showed some really startling statistics that for families with children, they are really significantly impacted when it comes to who is facing evictions. And that study actually found that having children in your household makes it significantly more likely that you will face an eviction than if you do not have children in your household. And that actually your childhood is the most likely time in your life that you will face an eviction. And while evictions are really a terrible disruptive event in anyone's life, when we think about kids growing up in families, there's really a very, very negative disruptive impacts that happen in those situations. And those span from everything from the dynamic in a family when parents are under the stress of facing an eviction and having to move their family. That's impacting their ability to provide sort of that safe, stable, nurturing environment for their children that helps support their children's development and their social emotional well-being. It also impacts kids in terms of their educational experience. They're likely to have to switch schools when their family is facing an eviction. They may miss school while the family is dealing with the impact of being evicted. And they're also facing real health impacts from that. When families are evicted, they often find themselves having to move into unsafe housing or into crowded housing where they're doubling up with someone else, or where they're actually experiencing a period of homelessness, which also has, you know, not surprisingly, really negative impacts on kids and families' health and safety and mental and social emotional well-being. And the most recent national study that came out that I mentioned also found that families of color more disproportionately face evictions than white families. And in particular, that study found that Black renters face evictions more significantly than white renters. And that was actually regardless of their income. And that really is a result of discrimination and racism in our housing policies and in our systems that families are trying to navigate to remain safe and stably housed. And all of these statistics are unacceptable and are things that Colorado has been working to combat and address, but we're hopeful that the data that could be made available through this bill will help us be able to continue to do that, to address those disparities in our state.
Kinsey, I want to go back to something you mentioned just about how much money sometimes is at stake in these eviction filings. And how, like, the kind of different rental assistance or those programs that we saw during the pandemic can make. Can you kind of help listeners understand, like, what are some of the circumstances that show up here and, like, why was that rental assistance so effective?
Yeah. So, you know, Enterprise and many of our partners really see huge benefit in upstream interventions to housing instability and the potential of being evicted or first-time homelessness. And one of those upstream interventions is money to stabilize renters and landlords alike. You know, I think a Harvard study that was just released showed that half of all renters in the United States are cost-burdened, meaning that they're paying more for rent than they can afford, significant percentage of their gross annual income. And the more cost-burdened a renter, individual, or family is, the more they're kind of living on that economic edge. And any life event like being laid off or an unexpected medical expense or childcare expenses. So many things happen to us in the course of life that cost a lot of money. And for folks who are not living on very much in particular, those extraordinary and surprise events can force them to have to fall behind on rental payments. Just as with other payments, you know, health insurance or other things. But the old saying is that rent eats first, because a lot of people will try to prioritize their housing costs in order to provide a safe and stable home and a community for themselves and their families. But at some point, even that may fall behind, because life can get very expensive and wages have simply not kept up with the cost of housing in Colorado or anywhere else. And so when a renter household falls behind, you know, it's essentially breaking a lease, and the landlord has a legal right to pursue, you know, an eviction and getting that unit back from the renter. But that's costly to the landlord as well. And again, you know, as Sarah was talking about, we really should be mindful of the immediate and long-term impacts of eviction and housing instability on Colorado renter households. And so it's actually much more cost-effective to provide rent stabilization and to provide money to keep the renters in their homes and avoid some of those, or avoid those long-term consequences, to keep the landlord whole and able to continue operating their properties and providing safe and stable homes, and save the court system, which is already quite overburdened and sees lots of eviction filings, from working through another case. And so, you know, particularly when we're talking about instances of a few hundred dollars, or even, you know, folks falling behind 1, 2, 3 months on rent because of systemic forces, especially they cannot avoid. I think, you know, when we are able to prioritize public funds for those kind of upstream interventions and rent stabilization, and, you know, rental assistance, instead of putting all that public funds into something punitive and longstanding, you know, court dealings, it really serves everybody in the long run.
Thank you. And so the bill we're talking about doesn't do those things that you're talking about to stabilize renters, but it can help us understand what's happening and how we might be able to prevent some of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's so right. In 2024, there's a lot going on about to address the housing crisis we're talking about. How does this bill fit into other things that are happening in the session right now?
I think it's a really important one. It's, you know, not as flashy as some of the other bills. A lot of the conversation on housing affordability or affordable housing in the state is focusing on big issues that have come up before, for instance, the last two sessions. So there are bills addressing transit-oriented development and seeking to build transit-oriented communities, trying to facilitate the development of accessory dwelling units, looking at how the state can provide for overall strategic growth and an understanding of its housing needs. And these are all really important. I think on the whole, increases in housing supply, particularly new development, often get a lot more attention and are more easily understood to folks and to policymakers than the importance of housing stability. And this is really representing an opportunity to advance housing stability in the state of Colorado and for communities and households. You know, we see a lot of bills seeking to advance renters' rights and stabilize tenants as well. And those are all really helpful and necessary. And at the same time, I think, you know, being able to better understand the scope of the problem and put some numbers to it and track trends over time, again, really will help everybody in understanding who is at greatest risk of and who is experiencing greatest housing instability, kind of on that more systemic quantitative level, lots of individual evidence and lots of people's experiences to count on. But when we're talking from a systems level and looking at how we might develop future programmatic interventions or scale future funding interventions like rental assistance, for instance, having a better sense of just exactly how many cases would be impacted by that and therefore how many people and households, I think is going to help inform the conversation and kind of pull it a little bit back down. Those numbers are going to help inform the conversation. conversation and create more strategic and appropriately scaled interventions to help folks all across the state.
And Sarah, I'm wondering if you can help our listeners understand how they can follow what's going on with this bill. It's only January now, got a couple months left. What's happening?
Yeah, sure. So the bill has been introduced, which is great. And it's actually scheduled for its first committee hearing on February 7th. And so folks can follow along on the progress of the bill throughout the session. If you are not subscribed to our Kids Flash newsletter, we'll be including updates on this bill as it moves through the process. And you can always check in on a bill, listen to a discussion of a bill at a committee hearing through the Colorado General Assembly's website, where you can listen to audio online of any committee hearing. And so if you're interested in tuning in to the conversation about this bill on February 7th in the Senate Judiciary Committee, you're able to do that through their website as well.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for your work on this and for catching us up on what's happening with this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the West Steps. If there's something you'd like to hear us talk about on the podcast, send an email to media@coloradokids.org. The West Steps and the rest of the Children's Campaign's work is possible thanks to our philanthropic funders and our generous sponsors and donors. You can support our work by visiting coloradokids.org. The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. It was created by Beza Tedes. Our theme music is by Trenton White. Our producer is John Wojcik, and I'm your host, Jackie Zubricki. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.